testimonies, and that is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Testimonies, and that is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Moving through young people to not only heal, but give them visions and dreams. And I mean, come on, how cool is that? That your Creator is giving you visions of being a mom.
Yeah.
Come on. If you're not convinced this morning that God has a destiny for your life, I hope that convinces you. Right? And so I really felt like it was my assignment this morning from God to talk about the Holy Spirit. Because I think we would be doing ourselves a disservice if we didn't. I just really got convicted at camp. Even as a youth pastor, sometimes I think I sell God a little bit short, and he kind of gently nudged me with that this week and just said, you know, what I want to do in this generation, and I hope you understand that you're included in this generation. Just because we went to youth camp for 4 days and just immersed ourselves in the presence of God doesn't mean that everybody else is disqualified or God's only going to use people 18 years and younger, right? But what God wants to do is move so powerfully with his Spirit through a generation of believers that the world is not going to be able to help but say, this has to be God, right? I really just sensed this last week, even the young leaders that were helping lead camp with me, most of whom were younger than I am by like 10 years, right? And just the powerful authority that God has given young leaders to move in. I mean, we're talking about standing up on the stage and prophesying at 24 years old, and the whole room, including guest speakers, right, who you would think have more authority because they've been doing it for longer, everybody just hits the floor, right? In the kingdom of God, it has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with experience. Your authority comes when you surrender your life to the work of the Holy Spirit. We were singing that song at the end of worship, Start a Fire in Me That I Can't Contain. That's a dangerous song to sing. I think most of the church thinks it's catchy, but most of the church doesn't agree with it. Because we don't want a fire that we can't contain. We want a fire that we can start up and put out whenever we need to so that it doesn't get awkward, right? And I understand that I kind of run the risk talking about a subject like the Holy Spirit as a leader and as a pastor that quite frankly makes it a little intimidating. You would think the day after camp I would just sleep for 12 hours, but the first night in our own bed that we were just like craving while we were at camp sleeping in separate twin beds with springs poking me in the back, I'm just like, I can't wait to get home to my bed. And that first night, I think I was up from midnight until 5 a.m, just praying and interceding and just getting the word that I wanted to share this morning. I really felt it was on my heart. The Lord just wants to release the Holy Spirit on this place in a whole new level. In a whole new level. I understand it gets a little intimidating to talk about it because it's not a popular, trendy church message. But I'm here to tell you that the relationship that you have in the Holy Spirit in your life is the most important relationship you could ever have. And it's one that we don't talk about much. I even had one of my youth leaders come up to me the other day and say, I was challenged at camp because I realized I've never been discipled in any of this. And I realized that I get challenged at hearing that because it's my responsibility as a pastor and a leader here to help give you tools that are going to get you to the next level in your relationship with God. And as awkward as it is for me to talk about a subject that most people associate with either bad doctrine or weirdness, it's more weird for me to not talk about it because it's weird for me to keep my mouth shut when I know that we've got Christians whose prayer lives don't reach past the ceiling, and you're praying in desperation for God to do things in your life and give you visions and give you dreams, and nothing seems to be happening. It's more awkward for me to sit down with people in counseling sessions and neglect to mention the work of the Holy Spirit speaking to them and try to give my best 2 cents about whatever God wants to do in their situation. That's not my place. We have to have such a dependence on the Holy Spirit in this day and age where everybody, not just pastors and leaders and the hyper-spiritual ones that lead camps, hear from God. Because it, right, and don't give me the washed up, old, stiff doctrine that says, well, some people get it and some people don't. That's not true for a second. You know one thing the enemy loves to do? He loves to screw with your doctrine. He's been doing it since the beginning. Did God really say that? We read a scripture and we're like, yeah, but is that what God really meant when he said that? Yeah, that's really what he meant. Don't touch the tree. I just want to say this morning, the Holy Spirit is given to all believers not to make us weird, but to make us powerful. And I understand that weird stuff can happen when the Holy Spirit starts to flow, but I'm not going to stop doing it just because somebody isn't mature enough to handle the Holy Spirit the way they ought to. Just because somebody gets weird doesn't mean it's not real. It just means they have trouble containing or handling or doing what God wants them to do. Jesus walked the earth more full of the Holy Spirit than any other man that ever walked the face of the earth before him. And he wasn't weird about it. He was powerful about it. And he was direct about it. And do you notice that he always had a word for people? And he always seemed to know what was going on in their life, even though he'd never had a conversation with them before. Don't you want that kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit in your life? Where you don't have to be awkward around your family and friends anymore that just don't seem to be getting it? Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody who either they're not a Christian, so they totally don't believe anything that you believe, you're like on totally different ends of the spectrum, and you get all tense? Huh? He said he was going to vote for Bernie Sanders. I don't know what to do. You know? And we're supposed to be the voice of God to a generation that needs to hear him, but we're so not full of the Holy Spirit, we just freeze up because they have a different political stance, or they said something that just threw you off, or a cuss word just came out of their mouth, and that stuff like renders us powerless, you know? You got Christians who you know believe in Jesus, but they're not living their life to please Jesus. And so we say awkward things to him like, Jesus loves you. Listen to me for a second. If that's the only thing we can muster up to say to somebody who's falling into a pit of their own sin and shame, then we really need to beef up on our skills. Because, yes, Jesus loves you. He loves everybody, but it doesn't mean that you're in relationship with him. I think the prodigal son learned that the hard way. He knew that he had a father who loved him, but he stared at his reflection in a pig slop, and he's like, I am totally out of the place that I'm supposed to be, and I'm going back. But it takes inspiration from the Holy Spirit to have those kind of conversations. We desperately need believers in this world today that know how to love people, build relationship with people, and then partner with the Holy Spirit to speak what the Holy Spirit's asking them to speak, and when to keep their mouth shut when the Holy Spirit's asking them to keep their mouth shut. See, because we just get in our heads so much that we think because we know something, we need to say it, and sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to tell you not to say anything to the people that aren't saved yet, and you're just running through your head, they got to get saved, they got to get saved, they got to get saved, they got to know Jesus. Jesus knows that better than you. And just because he tells you not to say anything yet doesn't mean that you're not fulfilling your call. It means that you're building enough of a relationship with that person, right, that when God does tell you to speak, it's going to have maximum impact. We've got to learn to trust the Holy Spirit in our life. The Holy Spirit, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to all believers. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphaned, right? Because what were the disciples freaking out about? If you go away, who's going to tell us what to do? I'm going to freeze up the next person that comes up to me and confronts me about my faith if you're not here. And he's like, don't worry, you wait in Jerusalem, and I'm going to send the counselor to you, and he's going to remind you of everything that I've taught you, and he's even going to teach you more, and he's going to give you the power like I've got the power, and you're going to be able to do even more things than the stuff you've watched me do because you've got the Holy Spirit. Amen? You need the Holy Spirit working in your life to build a deep and powerful relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 13, Paul says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." And he says, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends." Do you get that? No one understands the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual people." That's wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Paul said, you got to rely on the Spirit, because you will not be able to comprehend the things of God if your spirit is not connected with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to believers to build up and to strengthen. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." Build yourself up in your holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Wow, if that's a key, I need to do that, because I want to build myself up. I want to be strong. Somebody prophesied over me at camp. One of the guest speakers, he looked at me and he said, "In the spirit, you look like a bodybuilder, but on the outside, you look like a teddy bear." I think that's supposed to be a compliment. I wanna be able to build some spiritual muscle to the point where hell knows who I am. I know Jesus knows who I am, and I know Jesus loves me, but I want hell to take notice when I start to pray. I want the demons that I'm fighting to start to shudder every time I just get going in the spirit, because they're like, "Oh, he's picking up on it. He's picking up on it." If there's one thing the enemy wants to convince you of in your life, it's that you can be a good little Christian and sit in church and worship and put your hand up, but don't learn how to engage the Holy Spirit, because he knows that's where the power comes from, right? He's not threatened by limp-wristed Christians that freeze up every time somebody confronts him. He's threatened by the ones that know how to get wisdom from the Holy Spirit and hear clearly from the Lord in the moment, in that situation, right? See, because God didn't design you to have to come up with a pre-planned sermon or a pre-planned Facebook rant to try to convince the world why they're wrong and you're right. Paul said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, don't worry. Jesus said in that moment, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you in what to say. Not figuring out for 3 hours the night before and saying, "Oh, tomorrow when I get up, this is what I'm going to tell that guy." Usually doesn't work very well. The world doesn't need your opinion. The world needs to hear the voice of God for themselves. And that only comes through a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit in your life. You can't walk into my office and say, "Hey, Ryan, what should I tell this guy?" I can point you in the right direction, but you're going to need the Holy Spirit in that moment, in the midst of that conversation, to be able to be led to that person's heart, right? We are given the Holy Spirit to build up and strengthen. Praying in the Holy Spirit entails speaking in a spiritual language, right? Paul just said it. Hey, we are spiritual beings. Just like your spirit only knows what you're thinking, the Spirit of God only knows what God's thinking, and you have to learn to connect on a spiritual level. I think, especially in America, we get so uneasy with the thought of being spiritual because we have been taught from a young age that everything is based on reason and you have to value what's going on up here above everything else, and if you can't understand it up here or if it's weird to you up here, then it must not be real. right? Or it must be weird. You can't just categorize everything to the weird category just because you don't understand it in your natural mind. Paul told us, you don't function. God's going to use your mind, but that's not what rules your life. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit is the thing that rules your life. And God is going to show you things that you can't comprehend and you don't understand in the moment, but you obey because that's what faith is. You trust the voice of God in that moment, trusting that just because it doesn't make sense right now doesn't mean that he's not going to work it out in the future. First Corinthians 14, Paul says, the one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. And the one who prophesies builds up the church. So we understand from that, Paul's making two points. Your spiritual language that God wants to give you, number one, it's to build yourself up in your faith. And number two, when God speaks to you something publicly for the body, it's going to edify and it's going to encourage the body of Christ. And I think I want to make that distinction because a lot of people get jumbled up in their head. Well, tongues is only given to certain people because if you don't have an interpreter, then it doesn't even matter because unbelievers won't understand what you're saying anyway. Yeah, that's all great. We're talking about people. If you're going to speak in tongues in front of a church, you need to have somebody who's able to interpret what you're saying. Otherwise, nobody's going to understand what's going on. We're talking about two different things. You have a personal prayer language that God wants to give you so you can communicate with his spirit. And then there's times when God's going to use that language to edify and encourage and prophesy over the body. It's everything that already happened at camp last week, so you can't convince me that it's not true. God doesn't just speak English. He speaks all languages, and he even speaks languages that aren't even known on planet Earth, right? Do you really think he was speaking the King's English when he spoke the universe into existence? Thus saith the Lord, there's the moon. The Psalms say that it came out of his mouth like fire. Can you picture God out of his mouth, the sun comes shooting out of his mouth at the speed of light? I think he's got languages down that we know nothing about. And so I'm willing to let disconnect my natural mind and say just because I don't understand it doesn't mean that it's not working. Praying in the spirit supersedes the natural mind and it engages our spirit to communicate and to hear from the Spirit of God. God hears from you, don't get me wrong, when you speak in the language you grew up learning, but he really wants to expand our vocabulary to include words and sounds that don't exist in Webster's dictionary. Even in our worship, he wants to expand our vocabulary. We had one of the guest speakers, Landon Schott, he goes, you know, the worship songs are great, but sometimes the most powerful form of worship is when you're not saying any words, but you're just making a melody to the Lord, because sometimes singing a pre-written worship song is like basically giving God a Hallmark card and saying, this is how I feel about you. Right? I'm not saying that it's bad. I love Hillsong. I love Bethel. I get in my car and I just start praying and worshiping like the best of them. It's all good. It's all anointed. But sometimes God wants more than a Hallmark card. I can't say it, so I'm going to let this person say it for me. He wants to communicate with you personally. And that's what your spiritual language is for. Being effective in another country requires that you learn how to communicate in the language of that country. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom and will require you to learn a spiritual language if you want to be an effective voice in it. I think we just have to get over the hurdle as civilized, first world, Western European nations that there are things that go beyond our reason, and that it's okay. because we have to be comfortable. We have to get comfortable with the fact that first and foremost, we are spiritual beings meant to connect with a God who is spirit, the Bible says. And we have to stop trying to arm wrestle God into communicating with in a way that we understand in our natural bodies. Amen. He's not going to bend to the pressure. God's never given into peer pressure once, and I don't think he will now. I want this to encourage you. I want it to challenge you, but I want it to encourage you because this is going to give you keys to start fighting battles that you're actually going to win, right? This is what it says in Romans 8. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. That's a good thing. Have you ever been in that moment where you have no idea what to pray to God about? You're feeling it, but you're like, I don't know what to say. That is a prime time to just start praying in the Spirit. Because the Spirit will intercede on your behalf and communicate things in your spirit that are going on that you don't know how to communicate very well, but God, it's going to get communicated to the Father. Come on, guys, isn't that great? How many times does your wife accuse you of not being able to communicate well? I know you're feeling something. You need to tell me. I don't know. I'm not very good at this, honey. That doesn't have to be our excuse with God anymore. Here's another card. I didn't know what to say, so I signed it. The Spirit helps in our weakness. It intercedes for us. See, you say you're struggling with something. You need to ask yourself if you really know how to fight what you're struggling with. I get a lot of people that tell me, I'm really struggling with this right now. The truth is, you can't really tell me you're struggling with it until I know that you've actually been fighting it. That's the definition of a struggle. I'm in a battle right now. I'm taking some jabs. They're taking some jabs. But most of the time we say we're struggling, and in reality, we've never even picked up the sword before. Because we're so used to bowing to the temptation, we think just because we got tempted means we're already losing, but Jesus got tempted all the time, and he won all the time. Because he knew it was going to be a struggle, and so he knew his word, and he knew how to communicate with the Spirit of God, and he slapped the enemy around real good. And Jesus died on the cross so you could slap him around real good too, and not just come to church and look at a pastor with tears in your eyes and go, I'm really struggling right now. I care about what you're struggling with, okay? But as a pastor, it's also my responsibility to teach you how to defend yourself and put on your armor and put some jabs in because it's going to make you feel a lot better that way than just hearing it from me. Come on. King David learned it, right? Before he took down Goliath in public, he killed the lion and the bear in private. What was his motivation in knowing that he could take down Goliath, right? It was, hey, I already took down a lion, I took down a bear, and I'm good to go. See, you will never be able to take down the enemy in public until you learn how to take out your lions and your bears in private. And that was inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Come on. Even David, as strong and arrogant and prideful as he might have been as a teenager, and he might have been just, we think, well, he was probably just bored that day, so he decided it'd be fun to wrestle a lion to the death. No, that was under inspiration from the Holy Spirit. That was God speaking to him saying, if you go after that lamb today, you're going to get it back. It wasn't a natural mind, like testosterone-filled teenage rant that got him to go after a lion and a bear with his bare hands, okay? That's not wise. You don't just go after that stuff because you feel like it one day. You go after that stuff because you hear the voice of God saying, pursue and take them out. You got to learn to fight the lions and the bears in your own life, and then we're going to start to see giants come down in public. I was praying at camp in the Spirit, really getting into it at worship, and all of a sudden I'm just speaking in my prayer language, and all of a sudden I wasn't doing it just because I was passionate, like my voice just went to a whole nother level, and I was screaming so loud I felt like my head was going to explode. And I just knew that God had me interceding for the nation, right? And our voice, right? And he convicted me at the same time, though. He said, everybody in the church is ranting and raving right now about how all of their religious liberties are getting stripped away from them. But when was the last time the church, even on an individual level, people used the religious liberty that they still have to bring the kingdom to somebody? See, we like to blame the outside voices. See, I can't say anything because these people are telling me that I can't. When did that stop the disciples? They stood before the kings of Rome, even though it was illegal to preach Jesus Christ, and it says they spoke in boldness, and these men took notice of them. Even though these men were trying to obstruct their religious liberty, they took notice of them because they took note that they had been with Jesus. And they were unschooled, ordinary men, but they were speaking with such authority that the rulers of the land who wanted nothing to do with Jesus paid attention. Stop blaming America for you not being able to use your voice. If your voice is getting stripped from you, it's because you're letting the enemy intimidate you and you're giving into compromise. The only reason a Christian's voice ever goes silent is because they're giving into the temptation to keep their mouth shut because the enemy's telling them to, or they're compromising in some area of their life. Judgment always begins in the house of God. The reason the homosexual movement is so strong is because we have sexual compromise in the church. Even heterosexual sexual compromise. It's all the same thing. And the biggest affront to God, the grossest part of that sin to God, is not the homosexuality, it's the pride that goes along with it. And there's still heterosexual sexual pride in what we do, in the awkwardness that we have when we're trying to confront sexual sin and issues and we just keep our mouth shut. You're compromising to that thing when you just keep your mouth shut when you know the truth. Man, I didn't think this was going to get this serious, but sorry. Come on. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And I'm sorry if you didn't want to hear that. I had people in the past tell me, like, can I just pretend that that's not in there? Wouldn't that make my life easier? No, ignorance is not bliss in the kingdom of God. A lot of the reason that you're struggling with the same stuff over and over again is because you haven't acknowledged the fact that it's actually a spiritual battle and not just a physical and emotional one. And you need to learn how to communicate with the Spirit of God so you can shift the atmosphere over your life and slap some of those demons around. Yes, they are demons. I said that because the Bible says that when we resist the enemy, he will flee, but you have to resist him with spiritual tools, not just earthly ones. Is this good? Okay. Sorry, I'm going over. We're about 10 minutes over right now, but I'm feeling it. So I'm here today to challenge us, but also give you an opportunity, because I happen to believe that what happened at camp doesn't have to stay at camp. What happened at camp isn't just relevant for teenagers, because that's technically who we put the camp on for, but I came back from camp excited to preach today because I knew that what God was filling us up with there, he just wanted to impart here. So let that be good news to you. Just because you miss camp doesn't mean you miss what God wants to do, okay? So I'm just going to invite the worship team to come back up, because worship sets the atmosphere, right? And here's what I want to do. I just want to set the atmosphere in this place, an atmosphere of faith, an atmosphere where the Spirit can move, okay? Because we ended our worship set singing, "Set a fire in me that I can't contain." I think God wants to come through on that. And he wants us to give him an opportunity to do that. So I just want to invite you all into a new level of relationship with the Holy Spirit. And don't let your head get in the game too much on this, because the enemy is going to want doubt and unbelief to come in and just cut off at the ceiling what God is trying to pour into you, okay? We can't let our old theology and our old ways of thinking. Listen, this is what I say about theology, okay? I don't really like getting into theological debates with people because I just don't think it works. But one thing you have to do with your theology is you have to ask yourself, does it really work? Okay? You might be somebody in here that's like, oh man, I can't believe you brought up the tongues thing. And every time somebody brings up the tongues thing, you bring up all your scriptures. Hey, listen, how's it working for you? I'm here to have the conversation because I want the battles that you're fighting to be spiritual battles and not wrestling with yourself, right? I'm here to open up a new level of the Holy Spirit and relationship with the Holy Spirit to you so you can start to build some spiritual muscle and actually start to intimidate the enemy instead of letting the enemy intimidate you all the time. You know what the biggest weapon giants have? Intimidation. That was the biggest weapon Goliath had. He's going to stand there and he's going to cause the entire army of Israel, though they're backed by the living God, to cower behind their stones and their holes and say, I dare one of you to come out here and fight with me. And all it took was one man, one young man, full of the Spirit of God, knowing what it was to fight his own battle, to say, I've done it before and I can do it again. And I hope that one thing that these testimonies accomplished for you today, that you hear from these young people, what a testimony does is it causes you in your spirit to say, you did it in them, do it in me. Can we posture our hearts that way this morning? Can everybody just stand with me? God, you did it there, and we believe that you want to do it here. We thank you that all your promises are yes and amen. So here's what I want to do. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus comforts his disciples, and he says this, If you then, though you are evil, right? You're not living up to the standard of a good father whatsoever, okay? He says, though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. This is the promise. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Woo! All of his promises are yes and amen. The Bible tells me right there, all I have to do is ask for that relationship, for that gift. And it's a gift that was purchased by the blood of Jesus, just like your salvation was. There's nothing you have to do to muster up enough faith to get it. There's nothing you have to do to psych yourself out. Here's what I want to do in this place. I just want us to posture our hearts in a place to say, I'm open to it, Lord. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm convicted today. I want a new level of relationship with the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm going to keep talking for a second because I know the stuff that's happening. Listen, the Holy Spirit has been present in your life up until now. But what we're doing is we're saying, Holy Spirit, I want the next level of relationship. Why do you think that Paul, even after people got saved and baptized, he would always ask the question, have you been filled with the Spirit yet? And some theologians would say, well, we just get the Holy Spirit with everything else. I mean, it all happens at once. I'm not here to debate the order. I'm here, let's posture ourselves in faith to say what Jesus said was that if we ask for it, we will get it. If I know how to give good gifts to people who ask me for them, and he's very specific, he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we're just going to worship for a few minutes and set the atmosphere of faith in this place. You've heard the word, and now the Holy Spirit is prompting you to respond to the word. So those of you that have the Holy Spirit, that have your prayer language, I just invite you to lift up your hands. Start speaking in your prayer language today. Let's just set the atmosphere in this place. For those of you that have no idea what's going on, I just want you to just receive, just ask for it. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm ready. Come, fill my heart. Shut your mind off right now and just let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Come on, let's just set the atmosphere in this place. Let's press in a little bit. Press in, press in. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Come in this place. You're welcome here. We choose to push past the doubt, the unbelief. We choose to push past whatever our past experiences have been. And in this moment right now, we respond in faith to you. All your promises are yes and amen. Deeper relationship with you, Holy Spirit. We depend on you. We need you. We need you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the gift. We received the gift today.
To where I feel like I am right now. And I just kept thinking, like, I know this is where I am, and I know probably some of us are there. We've had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We have had those mountaintop moments, right, where we've felt like the Spirit of God moving consistently in our lives, but maybe we've been neglecting that. I know I have. I know I haven't been utilizing that gift that I've been given. I haven't been spending time listening to the Holy Spirit, inviting him to be a part of my life. So I don't know if anyone else, I think I'm just gonna like lead us in a little prayer of like repentance, just inviting the Holy Spirit back into that place in our life, saying like, we invite you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we repent for not utilizing the gifts you've given us, for not being consistent, for not being faithful. Holy Spirit, thank you for always being faithful. We invite you back into that place in our life. We invite you to have your way. Holy Spirit, we want you to be a daily part of our life. We want to walk with you daily. We don't want this to be a once in a while kind of relationship. We just invite you back in Jesus' name.
I want more of you, God. I can't control. Now I want more of you, God. Now I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Now I want more of you, God. Now I want more of you. Come on. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Now I want more of you, God. Now I want more of you, God. So set a fire.
Surrender to you.